Welcome to a special edition of The Pen and the Yad for Yom Kippur. Rabbi Michael Siegel of Anshe Emet Synagogue in Chicago talks with author Jonathan Eig about Jonah, the dove who refused to return.
When you were growing up, did you enjoy watching Pinocchio, the Walt Disney version?
I don't know if I ever saw that one. I'm sure I remember, you know, Whistle While You Work, because that's from a different one. I don't know. I was never big into the Disney movies. I remember a little bit of Pinocchio, but not much.
I loved Pinocchio. I got to tell you, the Geppetto and the wooden boy, and then he gets swallowed by a fish. And who knew that part of the story was really based on the book of Jonah? Jonah's an interesting character, and he appears not in the guise of Pinocchio, but in the guise of a recalcitrant prophet. And I want to begin this conversation by thinking about the name Jonah in English, but Yonah in Hebrew. What the word Yonah means is a dove. And the dove makes an appearance early in the Bible in the story of Noah. Noah, when he's looking for dry land, when he's looking to start the creation over again, now that the rains had stopped, he sends out a raven first, and the raven doesn't return, but the dove comes back, of course, with the olive branch in its beak, and so it becomes a symbol of peace. But the dove goes out to the wider world and it returns. And so this is a really interesting metaphor for Jonah and the story, but also, and we'll return to this idea a little later on, about the people of Israel and what their role is in the world. So in the story of Jonah, God commands Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell the people to repent. So Jonah becomes the only prophet who's commanded to preach or speak the word of God to a people other than his own. Isaiah, Amos, Elijah, they're all dealing with Israelites, not Jonah. And Jonah also knows, we assume, that Nineveh is located in Assyria, and Assyria is ultimately going to destroy the northern kingdom. The lost 10 tribes are lost because of Assyria. Now think about this. Put yourself in Jonah's mind for a minute. What are you thinking when you hear God say, now I want you to go to Nineveh and tell the people to repent or I'm going to destroy them? What are you thinking?
I suppose I'm thinking either he's made a mistake or either I'm not a very important prophet because he's assigning me to work with the other guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What did I do wrong here, right?
You're giving me the worst territory, you know. Right. This is not going to be easy.
Wait a minute. Isaiah gets to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to Nineveh. What's the deal here?
Yeah, so he's probably a little disgruntled at this point. I'm guessing he's not a happy camper.
Yeah, right. So maybe he wants to go to like the heavenly version of the HR, but I don't know.
Yeah. You can't exactly take your complaint to the next higher level.
Right. God, what do you mean, God? You're the HR department and you're God? I don't think that works here, right? The other thing that Jonah might have been thinking about other than his placement was the fact that if I don't go there, then they're going to be destroyed. So what does Jonah do? He gets in a boat in Yafo, in Israel, which Yafo is still there. And I got on a boat, go Tarshish, which is the opposite direction. So what does God do? God sends a storm. And in the storm, Jonah finally ends up in the water to save the other people on the boat because God has sent the storm because of Jonah. And Jonah knows that. And he gets swallowed up by a fish. He repents in the belly of the fish. The fish spews him up and he walks through Nineveh, saying, repent or the end is near. Either do penitence or God is going to destroy this city. And what happens? The people of Nineveh, they repent. They declare a fast and God sees this and they respond and God forgives them. And Jonah is angry. He's despondent. And he says to God, and this is such an amazing part of the story, he says to God, this is just what I said when I was still in my own country. I knew you were going to forgive them. I knew this was going to happen. Why? Because you are compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness. All of the things that Moses heard when he was in Sinai, these are your attributes. God, they're not working for me today. And so I am really angry with you. So this story raises some remarkable issues about how we understand people who are not only not our brothers, non-Israelites, but also people who are our enemies. So do you want to respond to this idea at all? Do you want to think about it?
Yeah, I find it fascinating that Jonah takes on this mission and succeeds in the mission. God spares the people, and then Jonah's angry about the outcome. You know, is he saying, why did I have to do this in the first place? You could have spared them without me. Or is he still upset that he was assigned to help people other than his own people? The people of Nineveh didn't deserve God's grace. You know, that's really interesting to me. You know, it also raises questions about seeing ourselves as members of tribes and not feeling like we have a right or a responsibility to care for people in other tribes.
Let's try this out. Let's say that tomorrow you got the call from God to preach to Germany in 1930. Let's just say. And God is either going to destroy Germany because they are going down this really horrible path, or God's going to forgive them and let them go forward. How open would you be going to Germany and walking through the streets saying, repent, or you're going to face the consequences? Wouldn't you think about like getting on a plane to Tokyo?
Absolutely. You would wrestle with that. But then again, we don't know what's going to happen in 1930. We don't know the Holocaust is coming. And I think that there would also be a strong part of me that would trust God and say, God has a plan for this, and who am I to challenge that?
So there's no part of you that would say, no, I'm definitely not doing this.
Well, it's hard for me to understand what it would be like to serve as a prophet and to have God personally instructing me, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I would be afraid of disobeying.
But you see, that brings us back to this notion of Jonah, the dove. You know, the world is on the brink of destruction, and the role of the Jewish people is to be the witness to God. The role of the Jewish people is not only to take care of itself, but ultimately to be a light to the nations. Not just the nations that you like, but all nations. And that, I think, is so much a part of this story, that Jonah really wanted them to die and is disappointed that they didn't. And in the end, God makes a plant for him, this ricinus tree that grows over him. And Jonah really likes this tree because it gives him shade while he's sitting up on a hillside, hoping against hope that Nineveh will be destroyed. And he's crestfallen. When the tree dies, God allows the tree to die. And God sends the hot sun, and Jonah wants to die. And God says, you really want to die about a tree? Are you kidding me? And Jonah says, yeah, I do. And so God says, you're so pained about a tree. Shouldn't I be pained about the fate of 100,000 people and more, the people of Nineveh? And that's how the story ends. Are you going to allow yourself to go down this road? Are you going to allow yourself to turn your back on humanity? That's the question at the end of the book, and it hangs in the air.
You know, I was going to say that, you know, one of the things we wrestle with in all religions is that God speaks to us or cares for us more than he speaks for others, more than he cares for others, and creates this sense of borders, of biases. And we all struggle with that because we all know that God created all of mankind, all of people on the earth, regardless of how they worship. And why should he care less about any of those people? Aren't we all the same? And aren't the categories that we've come up to name ourselves, those are all man-made categories. So why should we really believe that some of us matter more than others?
Right. And ultimately, how easy is it to project your biases on God and say, of course God would not be in favor of this people. Of course God would want us to destroy that people. Of course God would want us to go to war because they're evil and we have to be God's vanguard. This is the opposite story. This is a story that's in the Bible itself, which is amazing that this is what Jews are talking about with each other. What is our role in the world? And how do we see the world not through Jonah's eyes? And Jonah has a lot of reasons why he would be down on the Assyrians. In God's eyes, every human being is created in the image of God. And so this is how we go into the ending of Yom Kippur. The ending of Yom Kippur is all about universalism. The whole day is about particularism, about us, it's about the people of Israel. It's about repenting. It's about my family. It's about my life. It's about our community. It's about the people of Israel and all, but suddenly at the end, we move to the universal, this universal idea of what does it mean to look at the world through God's eyes? And what can we learn from other peoples? In a way, the people of Nineveh shame the Israelites. The Israelites are so difficult, right? And they're always getting in trouble, and they're always being forced to repent. Here, the Ninevites, you know, everybody just gets in sackcloth and ashes, and right away, you know, they're making us look bad here. And that's part of the story too. God cares about all people, and you can be better, but your role is to be that dove in the world, to be a light to the nations. And that means to be a positive reflection on me. What a powerful idea.
That's really powerful. If we have time, I'll throw you a curveball here. You know, one of my favorite musicals is Porgy and Bess, and there's a lyric in the song, "Oh, Jonah, he lived in the whale. He made his home in that fish's abdomen. Jonah, he lived in the whale." And here you've got George and Ira Gershwin, two Jews, writing about the Gullah culture, the former slaves of South Carolina, some fairly recent American immigrants in the Gershwins, writing about people who've been here longer but are seen as other, who are seen as not fully American, still not entitled to their rights the way the Gershwins have been entitled to their rights after having just arrived in this country. And it's an attempt to explore another culture, to learn from other people and to share that story. And the mingling, the cultures and ideas fascinates me. And I think it's relevant to what we're talking about here, because what I hear you saying is that we can learn to push ourselves to think about other people in ways that might seem uncomfortable or might seem alien to us.
It's so interesting that you raised this. I loved Porky and Bess as well. And what's the name of the song? It Ain't Necessarily So.
Things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so.
And so who's singing the song? The person singing the song is kind of a bad guy. Not kind of a bad guy. He is a bad guy.
Yeah, he's the skeptic. He's the doubter.
Yeah. And yet, the whole story of Porky and Bess is about the stranger and a people who are being persecuted. So George and Ira Gershwin are playing with this idea, and I think really challenging people from being literalists about the Bible. But at the same time, there's a larger story being told that is proving the Bible.
Absolutely. And it all comes back to faith. It comes back to believing in, and it's about seeing a world bigger than your own.
You know, I started out by talking about Pinocchio. And in a way, what George and Ira Gershwin were doing is the same thing. We, you know, you read a story about Jonah and the whale, and it's like, are you kidding me? Do we really want to talk about this? Is this really what we need to talk about in an age of pandemic? Really? Is this the story? And yet, if you really think about it, it's the most relevant story. How much do I care about anyone else? How much do Americans care about people in China or people in Israel or people in the middle of Africa? Or do I care about my own rights? If I give in on this right, you're going to take something else away from me. We start to think about, how would God look at the world today? Yeah, I can explain why I might care about myself more. I can rationalize it. I can stoke anger at China or any other country. I could use this as an opportunity to talk about American exceptionalism. But do I really want to do that? Is that who I really am? Is that who I need to be? Is that who I can be? In the end, the character in Porky and Bess, he's the doubter, right? He's doubting. And God comes in and says, no, no, you have to be the Jonah. And I think in a sense, that's the call to every one of us. You have to be the dove. You need to go forward. You need to have to reflect the best of me. Otherwise, it won't be present in the world. Best wishes for the new year. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.